What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's Wednesday, May 18th, hump day, middle of the week, starting that long, slow glide down to Pauhana Friday and what we hope will be a nice, relaxing, calm weekend. May not be. According to some of the Christians, we only have 3 days to live. Because on Saturday, May 21st, the rapture is going to happen. And all of the true believing Christians will vanish in a blazing flash of light and go on up to heaven and leave behind all their cars and homes and stereos and iPods and everything for us heretics and sinners to play around with. So, a reminder that any true believers who think they're going to vanish on Saturday, who truly believe, are welcome to sign over all their worldly possessions to me late Friday night, because you're not going to need them, right? You know, you do believe. You're not going to be a doubting Thomas this close to that final payoff, your entry into heaven. So I got a pen you can use right here. Now, just as an indicator of how desperate the propagandists in all walks of life are getting, another one of the Bible bangers has put out an article saying that the theory of evolution is actually a Jewish plot. That there really is no science to support the theory of evolution. It's just a theory, remember? Well, so is the theory of gravity. But, you know, if you walk off that building, you know, it is demonstrably true. So they're out there trying to say, it's just a plot by the Jews, and the science supports God and creationism and the Big Bang and blah, 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 blah. I'm sensing a lot of panic out there in propaganda land. Because, especially in the United States of America, since the loss of our manufacturing, public relations, or spin doctoring, or perception management, which are all euphemisms for lying, is a growth industry. And there are a lot of people in the country who make their living by lying to the public about products, about the safety of nuclear reactors, about the honesty of certain politicians, about how Dominique Strauss-Kahn is the victim of a poor anti-Semitic setup. And they make a lot of money lying, and they make very good livings lying. And all of a sudden, because of the growing skepticism and analytical ability of the population, public relations is in a terrible slump. They're not scoring a lot of successes and victories, and more of these public relations firms are having to shut their doors. Because if they can't lie and succeed at it, nobody's going to give them any more money. And so we're starting to see almost a sense of panic to try and prove to themselves, and more importantly to the people signing the checks, that yes, they can still bamboozle the people of the world on demand, on schedule, on time, and on budget. And it's not working. Now, speaking of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, this story gets better and better. And by the way, there is a massive public relations effort out there to portray poor little Dominique Strauss-Kahn as the victim of an anti-Semitic plot. And, you know, and they're spinning all these stories out of James Bond movies and everything, where somehow it's all the girl's fault. It was her fault. She victimized poor Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Now, the story's getting better and better. It has come out the victim of this assault is from Africa, and she is living in a subsidized housing project in Harlem that only rents to people with HIV. So Dominique Strauss-Kahn has been ordered to undergo an HIV test along with the DNA analysis. So, you know, if they both come back positive, this is a man who's got a lot of problems. And, of course, this is going to completely undermine this whole idea that this is a honey trap, because, you know, a 32-year-old black woman with HIV working as a maid is really not your first choice as bait in a honey trap. Okay? You know, hotels only put their most trusted workers into those top suites where the elites stay. So this lady had to have been working at the hotel for a while. It's not like she walked in off the street, stole a maid's uniform, and just walked into Dominique Strauss's room in time to seduce him. That stuff only happens in the movies. It's just not real. So we'll be back after these words from the sponsors. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So we're talking about this situation with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, and they've ordered a DNA test for him, and that's going to take a week, which is amazing. They ought to use the same machine on him they used on this guy they're saying is bin Laden, because they got the results immediately, just like the ones on TV. You know, you put the DNA in, yes, he's guilty, take him away. Doesn't work like that in real life. And this confirms it. They're saying it's going to be a week before they can get a DNA test back on this Strauss-Kahn case, and now they're going to have to add an HIV test on top of it. And as hard as the spin doctoring is going to portray Strauss-Kahn as a victim, you know, it's going to be a tough sell to convince them that this 32-year-old black woman with HIV was selected to be the bait, you know, in this honey trap. You know, if you're going to honey trap somebody like a Dominique Strauss-Kahn, you get somebody who, like, looks like they've come out of Penthouse or something, and they're healthy. You know, that's what you use for bait for a honey trap. You know, and as I said before, hotels, especially the ones that cater to these high-end clientele, you know, they only put their most senior and trusted people to work in these suites because they can't afford the scandal of something, you know, being stolen or broken. So this woman has to have been working at that hotel for a very long time to be assigned to clean up that room. So the whole story is really beginning to fall apart here. Meanwhile, they're saying, you know, the IMF chief is under suicide watch. Let's all feel bad for the banker. He's just so depressed, and we've got to keep an eye on him. We need to go get that sign that they had during the Wall Street protest that says, jump you, fill in the word yourself. I don't know. You know, it's amazing. Nobody's going to have any sympathy for this guy. He's the head of the IMF. Look at every one of the nations where there has been mass rioting and protests against the government over austerity measures, and you will see signs, IMF, get out. The IMF are trying to enslave the world, trying to convince all of us that we should feel sorry because Strauss-Kahn got caught trying to rape the hired help. You know, it's like trying to get the slaves in an antebellum plantation to feel bad because, you know, masked up in the big house has got a stomach ache. You're not going to get a lot of sympathy, and it's a fool's errand to try. Anyway, now, the good news, of course, coming out here is, according to Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, we're not in a war in Libya. Huzzah, huzzah, we're not in a war. It is a limited kinetic action. And as long as we call it a limited kinetic action, it's not really a war. So you war protesters and peaceniks, you just go home. We don't have a war here. It's a limited kinetic action. Of course, for all those poor people of Libya who are catching the bombs and bullets and seeing their friends and neighbors and children blown to bloody bits, and the shrapnel afterwards says made in the USA, to them, they probably could be forgiven for thinking it is a war. You know, if it looks like a war and smells like a war and burns like a war and sounds like a war and kills like a war, it's a war for all intents and purposes. And, it's kind of amazing how we're seeing this attempt by the U.S. government to try and bamboozle everybody just by changing the words. It's not really a war. It's limited kinetic action. It's war light. It's war mania. Not really a war, but an incredible simulation. So, and again, it's an indication of the sheer panic among the propagandists in our society. The tricks that worked just fine during the height of the Cold War, they don't work anymore. And they don't have any new tricks ready to go. So they're just going to keep on playing the old tricks and pray for a miracle, and it's not likely to happen here. Another one came out yesterday, and I'm not kidding you. Headline came out, Al-Qaeda has new undetectable weapon. Ooh, everybody be afraid and let the TSA fondle your genitalia because Al-Qaeda has a new undetectable weapon. If it's undetectable, how do you know they have it? Okay? It's like the guy wandering around the airfield with his hands out saying, I left that stealth fighter around here somewhere. I actually did that. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. Years and years ago, I was out at Edwards Air Force Base for the commemoration of breaking the sound barrier, and Chuck Yeager was out there and recreated his flight using a more modern aircraft, of course, to break the sound barrier over the field. And another highlight of the show was they were going to show the stealth fighter, and not many people had really seen it yet. And apparently the stealth fighter they were trying to bring over to show everybody developed a problem with the landing gear, and it was delayed by about 2 hours. And everybody was, you know, they were waiting to see this thing. So I got the crowd, and I said, let's do this. Everybody gather in a circle, and we found a pilot. And we just put the pilot in the middle there, and we all gathered in a circle and said, on three, everybody take the picture at the same time. And what they got, of course, was a picture of everybody standing in a circle taking a picture and a pilot standing there next to an empty space. And we said, tell everybody that's the photo of the stealth fighter. So I do things like that just to pass the time on these things. Anyway. So, you know, we're after this thing, Al-Qaeda has new undetectable weapon. And I guess the idea is we go around, you never find anything. You never found Saddam's nuclear weapons. You never find, TSA has yet to actually catch a terrorist for all this stuff. Where is it? Oh, you can't see it because it's undetectable. It's Al-Qaeda's new clothes. And if you refuse to admire them, you know, the terrorists will win. That's what it is. It's the emperor's new clothes. Al-Qaeda's new undetectable weapon. So I went out and I dug up this old Monty Python video. I don't know if you're a fan of Monty Python. I am a huge, huge fan of the show. And it was about the world's most dangerous joke. And it was this really bad joke that was used by the British as a weapon against the Nazis. And it's just one of their incredibly over-the-top spoofs. And I've got it linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. And it makes about as much sense as this new Al-Qaeda undetectable weapon. You know, from now on, anything happens, oh, that's Al-Qaeda's new undetectable weapon. Tornadoes, that's Al-Qaeda. Earthquakes, that's Al-Qaeda. Tsunami, that was Al-Qaeda. It just, you know, like I said, panic and propaganda land here. Now, interesting story coming out of Press TV, and this is where it gets really kind of tasty. Do you remember the compound where, according to the most recent story, actually it was the original story, then it got changed, then it got reconfirmed. According to the story that first came out, the Pakistani military forces attacked this compound because they were looking for somebody who had shot down a Pakistani helicopter earlier in the day. Then after they went in and killed a bunch of people, somebody there said, I think Osama bin Laden was living there. So then the U.S. gets wind of this, and they leap in, and they try and grab the body, and apparently they crash the helicopter, shades of Jimmy Carter and the disaster in the desert over the Iranian hostages. They crash the helicopter. A lot of Americans get killed. They try and cover up the remains of the helicopter. It's a huge, huge embarrassment, but they claim they've got the body of Osama bin Laden, and the president announces it, and they put all these phony pictures out there on the internet and on the media, and they're all discredited immediately because apparently the White House does not have the budget to hire really good visual effects experts. And then they stage that crisis room photo where they're watching the live feed, and then it turns out there was no live feed because there's no tape they can show, and the story just unravels from there. Now, okay, and this is, you know, then we have the story about the pornography, and they found marijuana on the places. Ooh, this is a real dedicated Muslim here, you know, that we've got. And it was kind of interesting because I pointed out earlier, a week ago, that for some reason all of the news stories about the death of bin Laden were using one of the known fake bin Laden photos to illustrate the story. Not a real bin Laden, but one of the fakes from 2007, and couldn't figure that out. Now we're finding out, Press TV is reporting, that the property, the compound, was owned by a man who is not only working for Pakistan's Secret Service, the ISI, which was hand in glove with CIA and Mossad during 9/11, but also works for the CIA. This is one of their assets. And what it's beginning to look like is the CIA was hiding one of their phony bin Ladens in this property, and every once in a while he comes out and he makes a videotape. He's a lookalike. Not very, but he's close enough for people who aren't suspicious of a hoax. And so Pakistan doesn't know who's there, doesn't know who owns the property. They raid the place. They kill the guy. The White House gets word they've got bin Laden. They know it's a fake, but they've got a body, and they're trying to basically recover from this huge disaster. That's the reason they went in to grab the body, before somebody could find out it was one of the fakes. So now it turns out that CIA and Pakistan ISI are linked to the ownership of the bin Laden compound. This story is just falling apart. Just absolutely falling apart. Basically, the Pakistan and the U.S. has, you know, they wiped out one of their own bin Laden lookalikes. But, not breaking step, the Central Intelligence Agency has appointed a former Egyptian Special Forces officer as the new leader of the fake al-Qaeda terrorist group. Okay, Saif al-Adel, known CIA puppet, is now the new caretaker chief of al-Qaeda. And I want to thank everybody who showed up for the auditions. You're all wonderfully talented. We can't cast all of you. And I know your feelings are hurt that you didn't get to be the new evil super overlord of crime and terror of the entire world. But you know, there are no small roles. There are only small actors. And given how short the lifespan is of our selected terror leaders, there may be another audition for you in another month or two. So leave your headshots and your resumes and your contact information with the production assistant at the door, and thank you all very much. There's a box lunch waiting for you out in the truck. So the casting call is closed, and the new phony terror head to wave at us, the new Emmanuel Goldstein, is all set to go to keep you afraid and willing to throw your money and the lives of your children onto anybody living over these oil fields. Isn't it amazing? Have you noticed how terrorists just seem to always live over oil fields? Is that not weird or bizarre? Even Ron Paul has now come out and said he's not sure the government's telling the truth about getting bin Laden on May 1st. Finally, the light is dawning on the man, and he's willing to stand up and express some doubt. And I understand he's a professional politician. He's got to be cautious about it, but I do applaud his courage for standing up there and saying what pretty much everybody else knows. This story is a crock, and it stinketh. We'll be right back.
need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. News from the world of health. Fleas near Flagstaff, Arizona have tested positive for the plague. Remember the Black Death, the Red Death, all the plagues, and they blamed them on the rats, and it wasn't really the rats. It was the fleas on the rats. Wiped out half of Europe. And now it's in Flagstaff, Arizona. But according to official U.S. government health officials, there's no need to worry. No reason to freak out. It's no big deal. Oil-soaked fish are safe to eat, and radioactive seafood is good for you, and the plague is harmless. But carbon dioxide will destroy the world and must be taxed. And then they wonder why nobody really takes them seriously anymore.
Along with limited kinetic action.
Now, speaking of radioactive seafood, I want to talk a little bit more about Fukushima, because we're getting a classroom or textbook example of a staged news release, because it's coming out now that Japan and TEPCO and even the U.S. government knew how bad the situation was early on. They had an accurate picture of what was going on, while the U.S. corporate media was telling you it's not going to be Chernobyl and radiation is good for you and we don't need to test the seafood and we don't need to test the milk and anything anymore because everything's going to be just fine and then we'll all flap our arms and fly to the moon. Now, it is now being revealed that on reactor number one, of the Fukushima power plant, It was in trouble even before the tsunami showed up. The media story that we've gotten, and it's already enshrined in various National Geographic and Science Discovery Channel specials, was that the tsunami destroyed the emergency backup diesel generators, which allowed the reactors to run critical. What they are now finally admitting is primary cooling on reactor number one was shut down by the workers long before the tsunami got there, 3 hours before the tsunami hit. The plant workers shut down primary cooling on the reactor. The reactor was scrammed. The control rods were back in, but the decay heat was a problem. But they had to shut down the cooling system because it was leaking. They had a loss of pressure, which tells us that the reactor was wrecked by the quake, and it's supposed to be designed to withstand major quakes. So we're looking at a design flaw. And basically, the operators manually shut off the emergency cooling when the pressure drop indicated it was leaking. They could pump all the coolant they want, and it was going to go in and come out somewhere highly radioactive, so they shut it down. And from that point on, the meltdown was inevitable. They had to know they were dealing with a meltdown that very first day. And yet they're only informing the public, confirming to the public what the rest of us had surmised, that it melted down, you know, all this way later. All these, you know, March 11th is when all of this stuff happened. And on today, May 18th, they're finally saying, yeah, you caught us. They were melting down. And what they're trying to do here is they're trying to basically drag out all the bad revelations and so that you don't get angry and you don't get upset because you're saying, oh, yeah, well, we kind of knew this was all going on anyway. So that you don't get upset and you don't start getting into that panic mode of saying, where are we going to get food to eat that is not glowing in the dark or covered with oil and Corexit? Or grown in farm fields that have been flooded with industrial waste because the flood control along the Mississippi has failed again. Now, they're discovering radioactive material in the pasture lands in Miyagi Prefecture. That's the next prefecture over from Fukushima, above the legal safe limits. So all of a sudden, those dairy cattle, they're going to say, can't sell the milk products from those, can't eat the meat from them. Today, only today, workers have entered the building of Reactor 2. This is the first time they've walked in there since they had to skedaddle out of there after the quake and tsunami. This is going to be the first time they will actually eyeball what's going on in there. And we're probably going to get another confirmation that the not only was the pressure vessel breached, the containment was breached, and there was a hole burned in the floor of the reactor building, because we had earlier reports that suggested that. Remember when we were getting reports about the blue glow around those buildings, the Cherenko radiation? When they were trying to tell us that it was a hydrogen explosion that blew Reactor 3 apart, and yet we called attention to the fact that the smoke was completely the wrong color. The effluent, if you will, from hydrogen explosion is water vapor. It's going to be white. And we had this yellow-green smoke coming out of Building 3, which was the color of plutonium oxide. So they've been hiding from us all along how bad this situation is. And now that, you know, the radiation's being detected all over the world, they're having to let it out a little bit at a time in the hope that people will not get very angry. Meanwhile, TEPCO has admitted that the damage to the number two reactor may have been caused by early efforts to vent some of the buildup of hydrogen gas and other materials inside the containment and resulted in damaging the containment vessel. So, I mean, it's just one bad decision after the other after the other, starting with building these power stations right on the edge of the Pacific Ocean. Now, Japan is already saying that they have suffered billions, 100 billion yen in damage. 25% of their ocean farming fisheries industry, 25%, quarter of its annual output, has been destroyed by the radiation. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to extrapolate that to the Pacific Ocean. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Tonight. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So we're finishing up here on the current status of the Fukushima disaster. Japan is basically acknowledging a 100 billion yen loss, or a quarter of its annual output from the March 11th earthquake, tsunami, and reactor meltdown. And the oysters, the brown seaweed farming, the whole area has just been devastated. Now, you know that commercial they have about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Well, I'm sorry to say, but when it comes to radioactivity, what's happening in Japan's part of the Pacific is not going to stay in Japan's part of the Pacific. If you look at the ocean currents, right now the runoff from the ruined reactors at Fukushima are flowing northward into the Bering Sea. I'm sorry, into the Aleutians. And they're getting into Alaska, and they're going to follow that current down, the Humboldt current down, west coast of Canada, down to the United States of America. It's going to take about a year for that to happen. And nobody's doing any testing or surveying. We've all got our meters. We can track the airborne contamination because it's already here. But the amount of radioactivity in the ocean, nobody knows. And everybody's been guessing and estimating based on the news released up until now, where they were saying it's no big deal, it's contained, it's just a little bit, it's just this, it's just that. Now they're basically saying three reactors melted down completely on March 16th And they've been pouring in tons and tons of water into that, and it's running off into the ocean ever since then. So nobody knows how much radioactivity is in that ocean and how much sea life has already absorbed it and been contaminated by it. And remember, it's not like pouring dye in the water and saying it'll wash away and be diluted. A fish with a lethal degree of contamination is just as deadly to eat 15,000 miles away from Fukushima as it is 1 mile away from Fukushima. This is a problem. And the U.S. government is basically turning a blind eye to this thing. The FDA was up there in this big press conference with the Alaska fishing industry saying, we don't need to test. We just know the fish is safe to eat. So no doubt Barack Obama and one of his kids are going to go up there and swim in some water, kind of, sort of, maybe close to the coastline of Alaska. Maybe they'll go into Prince William Sound or something. And then they'll eat a fish from some other part of the world and say, see, everything is okay, like they did in the Gulf of Mexico. It is up to us. It is up to private citizens to be policing the contamination and the pollution. And I know that the Alaska crab industry is panicked, because sooner or later, some Alaskan is going to pull up a crab from the bottom of the shoreline there, and they're going to put a radiation meter on it, and that meter's going to go crazy, and they're going to put it on YouTube, and that's going to be the end of it. And the government's out there trying to convince you that it's okay to eat oil-contaminated and radioactive food. Because if you decide that maybe you don't want to eat oil-contaminated or radioactive food, then there isn't enough food to go around. And you want to talk about really bad management? When you have a government that is totally made up of money junkies and all they're thinking about is getting more money, the rest of the country has just been allowed to decay away, and the infrastructure that supported the population has been allowed to rot away. You can see that every day that you walk around the streets looking at what's going on around you. And now we've just had hammer blow after hammer blow into the heart of our ability to feed ourselves through this gigantic corporatized food redistribution system. And we still have all these lobbyists out there trying to get laws passed so that you have to go to the supermarket for food, you have to pay their prices, you're not allowed to grow food on your own property, not allowed to trade it with your friends and neighbors because you won't pass the health inspection. Because the money junkies still don't see anything beyond their own money junkie addiction. This planet is in serious, serious trouble, and it's not from global warming, and it's not from carbon dioxide, and it's not from any of the other, from killing the whales or any of the other trendy, fashionable environmental movements that were worn as fashion accessories. The corporations of the planet, General Electric, TEPCO, screwed the pooch royally. British Petroleum, Transocean, all, and Minerals Management Service, they've all failed to do the job they're supposed to do. They've all failed to do the job they claim to do. And now FDA and EPA are acting like it's no big deal. No, no problem there. We're not going to look. We're not going to do any more measurements. See, there's no documentation. There's a problem. It's politics as usual. And the next generation is going to pay a really, really horrible price for this thing. Meanwhile, talking about a hammer blow to our productivity, the production of automobiles and related industries in the United States in April dropped almost 9% over 1 month. And the major factor was can't get parts from the factories in Japan that are out of electricity, and many of them have been shut down because of contamination. And this gets back to my point about the downside of globalism. National borders act like fireproof doors in a building, or watertight doors in a ship. As long as those doors are shut, if there's a problem in one area, it doesn't destroy the whole system. If there's a fire in one office, you lose the office, the building stays standing. If there's a flood in one watertight compartment on a ship, that compartment floods, but the rest of the ship continues to float. But if you prop open the fire doors, if you weld open those watertight doors on the ship, the first fire, the first leak, destroys the entire system as a whole. Now, this model of greater and greater centralization, where this one country is making all the parts that this other country on the other side of the globe requires to make what they're making, it's great for the money junkies because it's this huge machine and they can stand astride the flow of parts and money and reap huge, huge profits. But as we're seeing right now, the fact that the United States gave up making their own auto parts years ago is now going to come back to haunt us, because we were dependent on the auto parts factories in Japan, and they're out of service. And now is when we realize we should have kept our own factories open. We should have kept Americans working, making those auto parts, because then we wouldn't be impacted by this disaster on the other side of the planet. This push toward globalization and centralization is a wrong direction. It is dangerous. The survival of our economy, the survival of our civilizations and societies, argues that we decentralize. And instead of globalizing, we regionalize. We re-regionalize the surface of planet Earth. Our best chance for continued evolution of our species and survival is lots of little tiny nations all over the globe, not a few giant empires murdering each other over the remaining resources of the world. We need to re-regionalize the world so that we don't get into these problems. What's happened to Japan is terrible. The fact that it is destroying our own economy here lying squarely on the head of the money junkies in Wall Street, who figured they could make more money by shipping the manufacturing over to other countries and taking jobs away from Americans so the banks could take your homes to pay for all this buyback of the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. The thinking behind all of this, behind all of these decisions, is very short-sighted, very selfish, very greedy. Nobody's holding the big picture, even those people in government who are supposed to be holding the big picture. They're all still drinking the Adam Smith Kool-Aid, that if I'm greedy for myself, it somehow moves society forward. That has been disproven, not only by John Nash, Nobel Prize-winning mathematician, but by our experience right here and now. We're going in a wrong direction. We need to turn around and go back. Lots of small little countries all over the planet, everybody producing what they need right there locally, instead of, you know, having to buy what you need in your house from a factory on the other side of the planet. We definitely need to go back the other way. Okay, going to go to the phones. Lee in Georgia. Aloha, Lee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, aloha, Mike. Something just came across my desk a little while ago I want to share with you. I'd like to have you and the listeners check this out and tell me what you think. Have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Dr. Mark Serkis?
Nope, can't say that I have. Please enlighten us.
He's got a website called Dr. Serkis's Blog. And it's not spelled Serkis like you think. It's S-I-R-C-U-S apostrophe. Dr. Serkis's Blog. And there's an article he's got there that's posted. It's called More Bizarre Than Science Fiction. And in this article, he's discussing this comet called Elenin, E-L-E-N-I-N.
Yeah, it's coming in from the outer solar system. Should give us a really, really good show here in about another year.
Well, what he's saying is that this comet is already having consequences on the Earth's crust and within the man.
Okay.
But he also talks about the seismic activity is also attributed to planetary alignments. And he's saying that around September 25th to 27th, it's supposed to pass between the Sun and the Earth and be in perfect alignment between the two. And he also says that coming behind that is another asteroid, about the size of an aircraft carrier. And what he said was on his website. This is on this doctor.
I'm gonna basically interrupt you at this point now. Long before I was doing visual effects on TV shows like Lost, and long before I was a talk show radio host, and long before all of that, I worked for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. I worked on Viking and Voyager and Apollo 12 post-mission and a bunch of other things like that. This idea that the planets can align and destroy the Earth's crust is nonsense. They were calling it the Jupiter effect, and back at the time when we were using the fortuitous lineup of the planets to get Voyager from Earth out there to the outer ends of the solar system, everybody was predicting that when the Jupiter effect was going to cause earthquakes and stuff, and it just didn't happen because gravity doesn't work that way. okay, where magically if you're in line, you know, the forces multiply. It just doesn't work that way. The comet is very small. Even an asteroid the size of an aircraft carrier might not even survive the journey through the atmosphere. When you talk about world-killing asteroids, you're talking about something the size of Mount Everest is the one that wiped out the dinosaurs. Okay. Yes, size of an aircraft carrier sounds really, really big, but again, if it survived through the atmosphere, and that would depend on what it was made of, you might get a crater about the size of the one in Arizona, and it would be a heck of a whack, but it's not the end of the world. If it hit the ocean, it'd be, you know, there'd be some tidal waves and stuff. But nobody's seen anything outside of the comet. And the comet itself is not going to hit the Earth, and it's not that big anyway. It's just more of this pointless fear-mongering by people seeking funding or seeking attention. Okay?
Well, I was just kind of curious, because all of this was based on a Dr. Mansoor Omar Bashik from Cornell University.
Well, just because somebody's a doctor doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be true. Look how many doctors hoard themselves to the global warming cult.
Well, the thing that got my attention was, according to... This Cornell University doctor, he said the people that have been visiting his...
Lee, thank you very much. Okay, as I was starting to say, we already have PhDs, which stands for Piled Higher and Deeper, who have been reaping huge amounts of money from the global warming cult, and they're starting to go public and say, I was wrong. And, you know, they gave me the money to prove global warming, and I thought I was proving global warming, and now the raw data was flawed. We were being fed garbage information and asked to basically launder it and make it look like it was legitimate because we're these PhD doctors with prestigious universities. But the same thing applies. Garbage in, garbage out. And scientists have become the new priests because in the days of the rule by kings by divine right, priests were used to say, yeah, everything that's going on is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and it's all true and it's all real because it's here in the Bible. And now that we're in the age of the rule of bankers by divine right, scientists have replaced the priesthood because they'll still put out the same kind of lies to try and get you to do whatever they want you to do, only this time instead of priests in their robes, they get these scientists in their white lab coats, and they say, yes, this is true and this is real and you should believe it because it came out of this computer. And it's the same process all over again, getting you to submit to an authority view of reality. And you accept it as real because it is the authority, when in point of fact, prudence should tell you that the biggest reason to question all of this stuff is because it is the authority view, and it is coming from the government, and it is coming from corporate leadership. Now, right now, remember what I said earlier in the show about the propagandists are in a panic right now because they're losing their ability to manipulate the minds of America and the minds of the world with the tactics that worked in the Cold War. So we can guarantee, and this call was a perfect example, they're going to try and throw as much junk onto the internet and the alternative media as they can to wreck its credibility. And I cannot tell you how many emails I'm getting about how the Japanese tsunami was started with a nuclear bomb and the Russians are behind this and HARP this and chemtrail that and flying. I even got a video of the alien from the Roswell crash. That's how desperate they are. They understand that the people of America have seen the card stuffed up the sleeve. We know we're being played tricks on by the banks and corporations and by the government. The corporate media is losing their audience and their readership, and they're coming over here to Republic Broadcasting and WhatReallyHappened.com and all of the other people out here whose mission is to get the best information to you so that you can make good choices. And the propagandists are just out there. They're panicking. I can feel them panicking. They're trying to just put anything out there, including this thing about the rapture on Saturday. They're out there trying to shout down the truth so that you don't see it. Because we're getting close to this crash. And everybody in power, everybody in positions of power and authority, they're grabbing what they can and skedaddling for the border. And the longer they can keep you distracted with rapture and comet and Nibiru and all the rest of this stuff, the more loot they can take before they have to leave. And that's what's going on here. And the propagandists are in a panic. And the claims and accusations, well, like the one where, you know, Iran is building missile launchers in Venezuela. The stuff has reached a point of utter absurdity, but they're just desperate to keep as much nonsense out there, to keep you distracted and befuddled while they grab those last few pennies out of your pockets. And that's what's going on there. All right. So, The comet that's coming in is going to be very pretty and put on a really good show, and it is not going to harm life on Earth. It's not going to hit us, and it's not going to have any portent in the sky that says, ooh, it's the end of the world. That's just nonsense. The public relations firms are paid millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to come onto the Internet to try and distract people from the important issues of the day, like the economy, like the fact that you, the average American worker, have been strip-mined of 23% of your net worth over the last 5 years to feed the money junkies on Wall Street. Lying is big business in the United States of America. Lying to the public is the biggest of the big business here in the United States of America. And the U.S. government is the biggest customer of public relations firms like Hill & Knowlton, who openly advertise putting people on the net and on the alternative media to keep things muddied up, to prevent and delay the formation of public consensus. We're going to take a break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Skipping back to Fukushima, this is a story just coming out over at the Japan. Apparently, it has come out through a Japanese blog that some 40,000 Geiger counters, dosimeters, radiation meters donated to Japan by the United States, France, and Canada after the Fukushima meltdown are still sitting in the warehouse. The Japanese government is not handing them out to the public, and they're getting the usual, oh, I think it's their jurisdiction to hand it out. No, 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 it's these people over here. Bureaucratic runaround. But the net result is 40,000 radiation detectors that were donated to the people of Japan to deal with this crisis are being kept in a warehouse by the Japanese government. This reminds me of that story not too long ago where the city of New York wanted to outlaw radiation meters for private citizens. You'd have to have a license. You'd have to be an official member of the government to have a radiation meter. Use a Geiger counter, go to jail. And we may yet see that happen here. There'll be no justification for it. And one of the reasons given for the attempt to ban Geiger counters in New York was because the National Emergency Search Team, in conducting drills, had discovered there's a radiation hotspot at the Israeli consulate in New York City. And, of course, Israel will not allow anybody in to take a look at why this place is so radioactive. And so a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm going to walk around there with a Geiger counter and see what I can see. And next thing you know, oh, we got to make Geiger counters illegal. So forth and so on like that. Now, that reminds me, story has basically come out here, and I took a lot of flack for the way I portrayed this. But as you know, now that Fatah and Hamas have united and formed a single Palestinian government, they are preparing to declare a Palestinian state. And Israel is up at the United Nations saying, don't you dare let them become a state. And it's not up to the United Nations. Because Israel came into being, first of all, the United Nations wanted a two-state solution. And Israel said, we reject the partition plan. But we are here. David Ben-Gurion said, I declare Israel to be in existence. Harry Truman said, yes, that's Israel. And that's how Israel came into being. The United Nations did not actually create or in any way authorize the state of Israel. Nor should the United Nations really have the ability to do that. When a group of people get together and say, we're a nation and we're not part of you anymore, that's how a nation gets formed. There was no United Nations when the United States was created. We simply kicked out the last bunch of tax-happy government bastards who wouldn't listen to us, and we said, okay, we're a new country now. And everybody around the world said, yep, sure enough, you are. And that was it. Now, President Obama, who earlier in his political career was paying lip service to the eventual Palestinian state back at a time when it looked like it was never going to happen, is now responding to the unification of the Palestinian government. He's expected to come out with this speech tomorrow where he's going to say, oh, I'm opposed to Palestinian statehood. We can't have that. And then he's going to dump a whole new bunch of demands on the new unified Palestinian government, you know, that they must fulfill before the United States will support further peace talks. In other words, Israel has gone to the White House, and they've talked to their houseboy in the White House and said, you will block Palestinian statehood. And President Obama is saying, yes, massa, yes, massa, yes, massa, Israel, I will do what you say. Please don't whip me. And I get a lot of hate email from people saying, please don't portray the President of the United States as a slave. And my response is, I will stop treating him like one when he stops acting like one. No government can serve two masters. And every time President Obama proves that he is serving Israel, it makes it clearer that he is not serving the people of the United States of America. And I am tired of seeing him grovel. I'm tired of seeing every American politician grovel before this foreign power. I've had it. I'm fed up. We'll be right back after station identification.